years go rolling. You're 33. It is time for the cross, time for the Bodhi tree. Still you like to cry. Couldn't you just cry when you skin your knee? Damn, it's hard.
This is No Cover, No Minimum Radio. I'm Steve Zwenke. Milwaukee-based singer-songwriter Peter Mulvey got his career rolling as a busker on the streets of Dublin, Ireland. Upon returning to the States, Mulvey performed in the subways and streets of Boston. That's when Mulvey signed his first record deal, which led to full-time touring. Mulvey had already self-released his first two CDs before his deal with Eastern Front Records. Mulvey has always been a relentless writer and touring musician, sharing the stage with the likes of Emmylou Harris, Richard Thompson, Ani DiFranco, and the Indigo Girls. He's a charmer and a gifted storyteller with a unique ability to captivate his audience with his wit, humor, and laid-back approach. For over a decade, Mulvey has executed his annual fall tour entirely by bicycle, partly for environmental reasons, but also to satisfy his unorthodox approach to a long and fruitful career as an artist. His music spans rock, folk, jazz, spoken word, and Americana. A longtime standing gig at the National Youth Science Camp led to the spoken word piece Vlad the Astrophysicist, which became a TED Talk and then an illustrated book, and it's one of my favorite parts of tonight's concert. For Mulvey's 17th and most recent album and Righteous Babe Records debut, Are You Listening?, he traveled to New Orleans to record with producer and friend Ani DiFranco and her band. Are You Listening? Marks the 25th anniversary of a rich career of approximately 4,000 concerts and over a million miles traveled. Mulvey stopped in Madison, South Dakota to play the Brickhouse Community Arts Center on November 2nd, 2017. Enjoy Peter Mulvey on No Cover, No Minimum Radio.
Thank you very much, Chris. This is it. You only get to do this once. Play for the first time in a state. So it's going pretty good so far. A few notes in, you know. Remember back in the early days when the very first few notes I played. These are sort of the middle notes of the first song already. It's kind of nostalgic for it already. Took a shovel to the basement, and you blistered up your hands, and you danced all night at the wedding, and you stayed up drinking with the bands, and you made love until the daylight was creeping across the floor. Tell me, what else was it you were looking for? You felt the first chill of November steal right inside your coat, right there where the fragile pulse of living fluttered in your throat. You left the house you thought you lived in, you never even shut the door. Tell me, what else was it? What else was it that you were looking for? Oh, your little life, it came undone. The way that little lives do. And so you spilled over to your friends, and bless them, your friends came through. And then one day you set it down, 'cause you didn't need it anymore. Tell me, what else was it? What else was it that you were looking for? Would you meet me in the clear light? Would you meet me where the leaves are coming down? And if I learn to say your name, would you learn to stick around? Oh, we could walk, we could just say nothing more. Then what else was it you were looking for? Thank you. That was called What Else Was It? Question mark. I just read a Mary Oliver poem the other day. There was some great line about the man who has only questions therefore makes music. I thought that was beautiful. I love her. I just had another. Oh, how about another hand for John Stotts? Wasn't that a wonderful song? He's obviously a person of good character and presidential acumen. Stand-up guy, also a cast iron skillet enthusiast. It's a true fact. He's made me breakfast many times, and I didn't put him in this song. Instead, I put my friend Gregory in this song, who only made me breakfast once ever. I'm a bad person. It's called DIA. It stands for Denver International Airport. I wrote this song with a Denver songwriter named Megan Burt. Oh, Gregory, he made us breakfast, and now I'm rolling down to DIA. I hated to leave Greg's welcome table. Half a dozen bright souls to start in their day. Greg fixed us eggs, we all drank coffee, and talked about all sorts of different stuff. I did some dishes so I could linger, but there's never time enough. Thank you kindly for telling me to take Pena Boulevard. Oh, but my heart, it lingers back there in the house with the typewriters and the chickens in the yard. When you write a poem on a typewriter, it is kind of hard not to use parentheses. Get off my ass, tailgating mister, broke my spell with your SUV. Hold me, touch me, hold me, touch me, feed me. That's what my phone always says, it needs me. But I don't need you. Phone. He made us breakfast, and now I'm rolling down to DIA. But there's no sickness, toil, or danger in that bright world to which I go. I am going home to see my mother. I'm going home no more to roam. I'm only going over Jordan, only going over home. I'm only going over Jordan, only going over, only going over home. I do play with so much bass. I like it. Are you listening? Are you listening? Are you listening? Are you listening? I got a new life. I got a new life. I'm listening. Are you telling me?
Are you
telling me? Are you telling me? I think you're telling me you got a new life.
You got a new life.
I'm listening. I just love you so.
Oh, I
love you so. You got a new life.
You got a new life. And I love you so.
Am I listening? Am I listening? Am I listening?
Thank you. That song was called "Are You Listening?"
came out all at once. It's got 16 words. Been writing songs a long time. I've only had four or five of them come out that way. You know, just sit down and sings itself. It's a real good feeling. It's a little friend of mine said something really beautiful about songwriting once. He's like, you know that feeling you have when you're writing a really good one and it feels like really you're just taking dictation from somewhere outside yourself. You know, that it's not coming from you. It's just sort of a part of the world that you've sort of tuned into. And I said, yeah, I know that feeling. It's a great feeling. And my friend said, what if it's not true? He's right. Doesn't much matter. Doesn't much matter. Jesus wants to take your guns away. Jesus wants to take your guns away. I was talking to him just the other day. And Jesus wants to take your guns away. He looked real tired. And he said, Pete, I just don't get it. Love could be enough for them if they would only let it. But somehow they shoot people while they dance or while they pray. Ish, I kinda wanna take their guns away. He said, all I ever talked about was kindness. Okay, well, and the poor, and bringing all the love that you could bring, more love and more. So tell me, how do people go from what I said to what they say? I do. I totally want to take their guns away. Can we talk about how he calls me Pete? Because that's weird. No one really calls me Pete, you know. I've been Peter since I was a kid. My friends generally from the Southeast, they'll call me Pete, and one high school friend, but he's Jesus, you know, I mean, he just, you know, we were having lunch the other day and he just lit up a cigarette and they just brought him an ashtray, you know, it's like, he's Jesus. He shook his head and tears welled in his eyes. So I put my arm around him and I said, Jesus, man, don't cry. I said, I've got this one, pal. I will tell the world that on this blessed day, Jesus wants to take their guns away. So, people, Jesus wants to take your guns away. Jesus wants to take your guns away. I was talking to him just the other day. And Jesus wants to take your guns. Oh Lord, he wants to take them and beat them into plowshares. Jesus wants to take your guns. Like everybody else, he just found out about bump stocks. Jesus wants to take your guns away. I had a real short conversation. I wrote that song after the nightclub down in Florida, and I wrote that song next morning and put it up on the interwebs. And needless to say, there was a bit of a kerfuffle, and I had like a real short, pleasant exchange with a guy who said, "This is an excellent song, but the message is stupid." And I said, "I'll let Jesus know." Here's a song about it's from the latest record that I've done, which is called "Are You Listening." That song earlier was the title track. I made it down in New Orleans it was produced by Ani DeFranco, and we made it in her home studio, and it was great with Terrence Higgins, her drummer, who is a New Orleans cat and just a sweet, sweet man, and it's just in the water down there. Oh my God, the musicians. And Todd Sikafoos and my pal Anna Tivell and Ani. So it's sort of a quintet record. But this song is on it, and this is called "The Other Morning Over Coffee." I had a good friend of mine go. He died quite a while back now, maybe 7 or 8 years ago. And the weird thing happens when one of your closest dies, everything shifts around. And so I had a couple of friendships really open up, which was really something, you know. So this is sort of dedicated to anyone who has ever tried to be or have a friend. I don't know if you've tried that, but it's complicated. The other morning over coffee, you told me that lately you have been looking in the mirror and smiling back at a fellow soldier who is fighting the good fight against the big, sad, empty inside. And that may not be happiness, but it is as close as someone like you gets. And I believe you. Because I have listened to all of your bullshit theories about how you're gonna get it together this time. And every one of them involves some future turning point where you turned into a completely different person. But the other morning over coffee, all that you were talking about was dealing with the person you're probably always gonna be. Isn't that something? So I say, do you remember that time when we were both drunk off our ass and we were talking about how we had lived lives so full of poetry and adventure that if we died right then and there, it would have been fine? And it would have been fine, only we didn't die. And we woke up so hungover, it felt like little furry creatures had crawled into our mouths and then died there. Yeah, neither do I. Oh, and then there was your grand idea about how all of her imperfections were perfect for you because they shoved you off your spot and they forced you to grow and to change as a human being. And the next night you said, I cannot live for one more minute under the roof with this crazy, self-destructive, chaotic killjoy. Wow. Well, you've always taken pains to say thank you for listening to these sad sex stories, and at this point in our friendship, I believe that I can honestly say you're welcome. I'm a pretty good listener. I get it from my mother. But there is one thing that has always bothered me about our friendship, and one thing that right now I owe it to you to say. Oh, my love, under the sky, like me and me, ain't I just like you, ain't I just like you, I'm only swimming upstream, I'm just swimming upstream, I'm only swimming upstream, just like you. For the life of me, we're both just, we're swimming upstream, I'm only swimming upstream, maybe that's all there is, just swimming upstream, me and you, for the life of me, for the life of me. For the life of me. Has been listening to me for a long time. He's a very patient man. Anyway, I recently became... Well, Okay, sorry. Excuse me. Technical difficulties here. I became a children's author this past year, which is a little bit strange. I didn't intend to become a children's author. I've been, for the past, for the past 17 years, I've been playing every July in West Virginia at a place called the National Youth Science Camp, which is a summer camp for the top two science students, high school graduates from each state in the United States of America. And then there's always a couple of kids from Europe and a couple of kids from Latin America and generally a couple of kids from Asia. So about 120 like spectacularly gifted, and intelligent young people. And the gig takes place in a cave underneath West Virginia. So it's pretty much exactly like this, only we'd be underneath West Virginia and you'd all be teenage geniuses. But I mean, you look fantastic. But at any rate, it's really a wonderful gig because you get to meet these kids, and every time I meet them, I think we're going to be just fine. The kids are so great, and we are going to be just fine. I mean, we're not going to be fine, but things are going to be fine is where I'm going with that. But I was there, and I met this astrophysicist from the Czech Republic named Vlad, and I asked him a pretty simple question, and he gave me like a straight-ahead answer, and his answer just kind of, and so I turned it into a spoken word piece, and that wound up on one of my records back in 2009, and then someone put a video of me doing it in a bar up on this site called Reddit, which I had not heard about, and it provoked this whole discussion, apparently, like this 250,000-person thread about the Drake equation. And then the TED people asked me to do it as a TED talk, and then a publisher asked me if they could put it out as an illustrated book. So now I'm an illustrated children's author, and so we're going to have story time now. But that's all right, because when we're done with that, we're also going to have milk and cookies, and you can put your heads down on your desk and nap. So this is called Vlad the Astrophysicist, and it's written in the form of a letter to one of my young nieces and nephews, and so I brought along my own airplane. There we go. 4th of December. Over the eastern seaboard, dear Adeline. Far below, the long evening light is fleeing the mountains of Nova Scotia. With any luck, I will get some sleep in the sky tonight and wake up in Ireland. This summer, for reasons that are too complicated to go into here, I found myself sitting behind a motel in remote West Virginia with an astrophysicist from the Czech Republic named Vlad. Now, Vlad and I see each other every few years, and we get along famously, probably, because I love astrophysics. And he loves music. And we love beer. In fact, we had found some beer at a gas station, and we were drinking it and talking as we sat looking up at a huge West Virginia sky full of stars. Vlad, I said, I've always wanted to know the answer to this question, and you strike me as the only guy I'm ever going to meet who can give me a decent answer, so lay it on me, pal. Are there intelligent civilizations out there other than ours? And if there are, then why haven't they contacted us? Vlad looked at me over his glasses, and he said, that is two questions. The first question is easy to answer, and the answer is yes. Oh yes, many. Given the number of stars and the abundance of amino acids wherever you look in the universe, very likely many civilizations have arisen. The second question, why have they not contacted us, is the only question. And it's difficult to answer, but I will give you my best guess. You must use your imagination. And he held his hands out at shoulder width. And he said, I want you to imagine that the entire universe is only this big, about the size of a beach ball. I mean, universe is not spherical, but go with me on this. Now, imagine that all of time, 13.75 billion years from Big Bang until now, imagine that that goes by in 5 minutes. On that scale, consider us. Now, we are intelligent civilization, clearly. We make radio waves, we make rocket ships, baseball, Great Wall of China, bluegrass, box sonatas, clearly intelligent. But the question is, How long do we last? 5,000 more years? 50,000? 5 million years? It does not matter. On the universal scale that I'm asking you to consider, those lengths of time are identical. They look like this. He looked at me to see if I understood what he was saying. Everyone who's ever lived and will live. Everything we've made and will make. Psst. He paused to let that one sink in. And it sank in. So, he said, here is universe. And again, he gestured to define the space. And here are all of those intelligent civilizations which arise in a universe such as this one. They arise here. And then, here. And then, here. You see? They never meet each other because time is too long, because space is too large. I mean, sure, maybe it happened at once, simultaneously, right next to each other. Psst, psst, two civilizations sprung up, and they met, and they had war. Better yet, let us say they had peace. Let us say they had arts exchanges. Let us say they had intergalactic library. They are all dead now, too. In all likelihood, at this moment, we are entirely alone. And by the time the next civilization arises, we will have been gone for a long, long time. I looked back at the sky, still so full of stars. And Adeline, I probably don't need to tell you that although they look just as they had a couple minutes ago, they look different now. And I couldn't think of anything to say for a minute, and then I said, Vlad, would you like another beer? Anyhow, kiddo, the word came from your household that this is the week you began looking up all by yourself, lifting your head and looking at those faces that hover over your crib, occasionally favoring one of them with your smile. You keep up the good work. Love, Uncle Peter.
Peter Mulvey on No Cover, No Minimum Radio from SDPB.
Thanks very much. It is a children's book. You know, it's kind of about the end of the world. Then again, have any of you actually, like, have you read the old actual original Grimm's fairy tales? Those things are horrible. My favorite one, I mean, like, in terms of pure brutality, it was this whole story about, like, there was a burning ember that wanted to marry a little mouse and couldn't get across the river to the mouse that the ember wanted to marry, and, you know, all of his friends came to help, and one by one they fall in the river and die, and then, like, the ember falls in the river and gets extinguished, so the mouse, you know, dies of sadness. And my favorite is the last line of that story was, and then everyone was dead. Like, good night, Susie! Like, that's... So, mine's at least agnostic, you know? Well, after that, here's a song about a shirt. This song is called Shirt. Light a fire, burn up all you know. You've had time to let it go. And now you're burning letters in the snow in your backyard. Years go rolling, you're 33. It is time for the cross, time for the Bodhi tree. Still you like to cry. Couldn't you just cry when you skin your knee? Damn, it's hard. It's the same old friends on New Year's Eve. The same snow falls on the same old leaves. And And there's the same old joy, same old hurt, same old corduroy shirt. Storm windows and the broke tail squirrel and the grocery lists and the skateboard girls. Oh, your rusty brain cells, they give you a twirl. Oh no, oh no, I've got a kitchen radio, I've got coffee on. I could use a little month, just a little month to lean up on. Still the open road, oh, the road, it wants me gone. Off I go. It's the same old jar of car keys by the door, the same old scuffed up floor, the same old thirst for more until they put me in the dirt. It's the same old nights alone, it's the same old baby when you come home to feel the same old joy, same old hurt, same old corduroy shirt. Same old corduroy shirt.
Thank you. I want to get my friend John Stotts up here to play electric guitar with me. We are men, and so that's one of the things that generally appeals to us is, hey, should I bring my electric guitar so we can both play on each other's sets? Yes. We'll feel good about it. We're going to play one song that we had agreed to play and then a song that John doesn't know that we are playing that it just occurred to me we should play together. I'm not going to tell you what it is. Are you kidding? Why would I do that?
We're doing the one we know
first. Yeah, we'll do the one we know first. I mean, this brief time together, it's like getting into a canoe. There's a few things that can go wrong, only a few. It's called Sympathies. I got my first tattoo just about a month ago. It's an owl, because I really like owls. And then I was thinking, this song came out of, I want to get a block of text of a lot of different stuff that I've read over the years. Pali from the Dhammapada, the sayings of the Buddha, and ancient Greek. There's this great thing that Aesop said. He said, words our deeds. But there's something from the Gospel of Thomas, which was something they found in the 50s or the 80s, the Nag Hammadi scrolls. It's a pretty rad book. It's awfully different. I think things would be different if that one had made it into the original edit, but it was kind of missing for a couple thousand years. If you bring forth what is within you, what you bring forth save you, and if you do not bring forth what is within you, what you do not bring forth will destroy you. That strikes me as fairly pragmatic stuff that I can use. Love thy neighbor is great, but I don't know how. Anyway, this is called Sympathies.
Sympathies lie. Oh, 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 I wanna know where your sympathies lie. What comes out of you when you see me sinking down? Are you with me or just standing by? I wanna know where your sympathies lie. What's the price you pay? Mm-mm-mm, I wanna know, what's the price you pay? What's the thing you had to give a name so you could quit running from it every day? I wanna know, what's the price you pay? You don't have to tell me that it's tough. I know it's tough. You don't have to tell me none of that stuff. We go through this the same. It's everything you got to carry, everything you got to lay down, so you can finally find the sound of your dignified name. Your dignified name. I wanna know, who do you think you are? Oh, 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 I wanna know, who do you think you are? What's the thing within you that you need to bring forth in your fleeting time underneath the big blue sky? Where your sympathies lie. I wanna know where your sympathies lie. Where your sympathies lie.
If you capo 2 and play in G, this thing's going to be great. That's called Sympathies. It's from a record called Silver Ladder. It's the one with the giraffe on the cover. It was produced by the great Chuck Prophet, who is a rock and roller from San Francisco. And we were just listening to some of his music in the car on the way up here. Man. And I was wondering if you were going to take a guitar solo. Chuck is a contentious human being. I remember when we were making the record, I said, I was thinking after that second chorus, and then the bridge part, we could take a guitar solo. And he's like, man, we've heard guitar solos. Everyone has heard guitar solos by now. If I hear one more guitar solo, I'm going to puke. You know, Chuck is a handful. So this is a song about Dwight Eisenhower. I just realized this would be a great song to do with John Stotts. I wrote, this is called the Eisenhower Waltz. It's called Abilene, and its parenthetical title is the Eisenhower Waltz. I was in Abilene, Kansas, which is where he's from. Guy grew up in a house, I think he had 8 siblings, and he grew up in a house the size of the house that I live in, just me and my wife and one deceased cat. Like, you know, there's a lot of room in our house compared to the Eisenhowers, so. God bless you, Dwight D. Eisenhower. As I stand next to this truck stop shower, watching our bright destiny unfold. Today your highway rolls from here to gone. This land we've laid our hands upon, sir, is a sight to behold. Oh, God bless you, Dwight D. Eisenhower. Though this is not our finest hour, as highwaymen have made off with your creed. Today, the band is marching no matter what. The eyes of history are shut. This is the hour of our deepest need. Oh, and the wind howls. Oh, and the wind howls. Oh, the wind howls through the fields of Abilene. God bless you, Dwight D. Eisenhower. As now the youth in all their flower hang on the Iron Cross the one you warned us of. Oh, they say that you once wept to hang them, so you among us all would know the things that it seems we do for love. All these things we do for love. Oh, and the wind howls. Oh, and the wind howls. I hear the wind howl through the fields of Abilene. Oh, and the wind howls. And the wind howls. Oh, the wind howls through the fields of Abilene. John Stotts, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
I had the privilege of, a friend of mine got that song to John Eisenhower, Dwight Eisenhower's last remaining son, before, I don't remember if he's still with us or not. I wrote that tune quite some time ago, about 10 years ago I wrote that song, so. I love it when those things happen. Someone brought my Vlad the Astrophysicist book to Neil deGrasse Tyson the other day and gave him a copy that I signed to him. And his people told her, you know, he doesn't actually sign things for people, so don't ask. And she asked anyway. She was like, also, I brought another copy. Could you sign it for him? And there were like five people in line. He said, oh, I don't sign things. Stick around. And then he, like, you know, like shook hands and et cetera. And then he signed it. So I have a copy of my book. I love stuff like that. I'm just going to tell you two other things, and then I'm going to sing two more songs. That's how this night is going to go. But I had the most wonderful thing happen. A woman in West Virginia, in a place that I never, Marietta, West Virginia, where I've never been. I've never played there. But she said, I want to send you a book of poems. And I'm always on the road, so I just told her the address that I would be in a week and a half, you know, and she sent it there. And I presumed that she was going to be sending me a book of her own poems. People sometimes do that. I like poets, and I'm into poems. But no, she had sent me a book of poems that she thought that I would really probably enjoy. And she sent me a Darkness Sticks to Everything, the new and collected poems of Tom Hennen. That's my favorite book of poetry in the whole wide world. Like, she just figured I would like it. I've bought that book 40 times and given it away 40 times. And it just made me, yeah, made me. Isn't that it's an amazing book. It's just, in fact, I kind of opened it. I always open it because the very first poem is called Did I Say This Before? Once I saw poplar leaves shoot straight out the top of a tree and flutter in the cold autumn sunshine. They even made a sound, some chatter they had learned from the birds. Meanwhile, a lone monarch butterfly flew stiffly around and landed on a dry corn stalk. And that's where I lose the thread. Something about its feet hanging there with its tiny feet abandoned by its tribe. What hand had left him there on the illustrated manuscript of Earth? I'm going to have to memorize the rest of that poem because that would have been an awesome moment if I had. There is another universe where I know that poem entirely by heart. And like, it's the exact same people. We're right here in Madison, South Dakota, but they got like the whole poem. And you're having a good time, but they're having a great time. But I'm with you. Thank you.
Shenandoah, I long to see you. I long to see you away. I'm bound away across the wide Missouri. Deceive you away, 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 you rolling river, Shenandoah. I'm only bound to leave you away. I'm bound away. Across the wide Missouri, across the wide Missouri.
Thank you so much. Thanks for coming out. Thank you, Chris, for setting the gig up. Thanks to the Arts Council. Thank you so much. Thanks to South Dakota Radio. Thank you. Thank you all for coming out. And thanks to all of you for doing what you do as well. I met one teacher, and I'll find out what the rest of you do. It can't take that long. Thank you very much. Thanks to John Stotts.
Peter Mulvey recorded live at the Brickhouse Community Arts Center in Madison on November 2nd, 2017. For more information on the artist, go to petermulvey.com. Thanks to the Madison Area Arts Council. The Madison Area Arts Council continually strives to better serve the arts and cultural needs of their diverse community through innovative and original programming. See their website at madisonareaartscouncil.org. This concert was recorded by Ragtime Studios of Sioux Falls. You can listen to this concert again, plus any of our past episodes at sdpb.org. I'm Steve Zwemke. Join us again next week for another No Cover, No Minimum Radio. Concerts from South Dakota for South Dakota. A production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
And I'm asking you to have some compassion for young dead Michael Brown and for his city and for his family and for the man who shot him down. And for all of the marchers, and for the cops and the soldiers, and for the angry white men on TV, and for the mothers, and the hopeful, and the fearful, and the hateful, and the righteous, and for you and me, and for our friends, and for our families, and for our neighbors, one and all, and most especially for the next child. For the next child we know will fall. I know God loves us. I know God loves us. I know God loves us. I don't know how. I know God loves us. I know God loves us. I know God loves us. But I don't know how. And so I'm asking you to have some compassion for young dead Michael Brown.